But it really is beautiful and does fit perfectly with what I'm attempting to preach this morning. My text for the morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. I invite you to follow along on the screen as we read that scripture lesson for the day. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God bless the reading and hearing of this, His holy word. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, I pray that my words will not be my words at all. Instead, will be yours. Use me as an instrument, a vessel, to preach your word. Amen. He sat alone, this young man did. He rarely ever looked in the faces of people. He was uncomfortable carrying on a conversation with people. He sat on the very back row of a little country church where I happened to be the pastor many years ago. I knew his name, and that's all I really knew about him. At the end of the service, when they were singing the closing hymn, he would get up out of his seat and he would leave before the hymn was over, because that way he wouldn't have to encounter anybody or carry on a conversation. In those days, believe it or not, preachers actually went into the homes of people and visited them. Don't do that much anymore, but we did then. I found out enough about this young man to know where he lived. I went out to his home, which was a single wide, very old, worn out mobile home. I knocked on his door. He came to the door. He would not invite me in, which was fine. I understood that. But we stood on his front porch and we talked for a while. Again, he looked down at the ground. He would not look me in the face, would not look me in the eye. And I tried as best I can to engage him in conversation, but he was not very talkative. And finally, after a while, the only thing he would tell me was that he had been released from prison just a few months before. I learned a little later from members of the congregation who knew him and his family that he had grown up in a very dysfunctional family and likely was the victim of abuse of one kind or another. And as an adult, he actually had intentionally committed crimes to be arrested because, frankly, he felt safer in prison than he did out in society. For some unknown reason, I made it my project to help this young man to know that he was loved and valued. I didn't do it alone, however. I happened to serve a congregation that was very loving and very caring. And so together, with their help, we reached out to this young man and did everything we could to make him feel welcome, make him feel valued. It took a long, long time. But after a long time of working together, I said to him one day, "You know something? Jesus came into the world for people just like you. You're the kind of person that Jesus seeks out, just like he seeks out me. Anybody that's hurting, anybody who doesn't feel good about themselves, Jesus is there for you. And you didn't know that. He died for you and for me." And I was blessed because as the pastor of that church, I was there the Sunday when he came down the aisle of the church and gave his life to Christ and joined the church. And I was able to see him blossom and grow over a period of time. And his whole life was transformed by the love of that congregation and by the love of Christ. I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect there's some of you out there this morning who know exactly how that young man felt. If you don't really love yourself very much, You wonder if you really are a person of value and worth, if God really does love you just the way you are. Many people wonder that. If you feel that way, don't feel bad about that. Many people feel that way. I felt that way myself. I know how that feels. Wondering if God really does value me and love me the way the Bible says He does. I love this story from Zacchaeus. At the end of this story, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." I am convinced that if there was one sentence that summed up why Jesus came into the world, that would be the sentence. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Because that's what He spent most of His time doing, is it not? Seeking and saving those who are lost. I love this story of Zacchaeus. I've told it many times. I have preached on this theme. I've taught it. I love it. I think it's because most of us can identify in some manner with Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus didn't have many friends. I don't know that he had any friends. He had several strikes against him. First of all, he was a Jew who worked for the Romans. Secondly, he was a tax collector. In those days, that was not a very revered profession. And finally, he took money from people that was not rightly his and put it in his own pocket. So he had several strikes against him. He didn't like himself either. Did you know that? He didn't like himself at all. Not only did he not have friends, but he didn't like himself. And so he had heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho, which was his hometown. And he was thinking, maybe, just maybe, this is my opportunity. This is my chance to be made into a new person. Now the story says he was a short little fellow like this. And he couldn't see over the crowd. And so he came and he climbed the tree so he could see Jesus when he came to Jericho. Well, I believe there's another reason why he climbed the tree. You see, the folks who had gathered there to welcome Jesus to town were what I would call the church folks. They were the church folks. They were there. They loved Jesus. They had heard about Him and they believed in Him and they followed Him and they were there to welcome Him in Jericho. And they knew that Jesus would be glad to see them because they were the church folks. Well, I believe Zacchaeus looked off in the distance and when he saw Jesus coming, I have a feeling his heart was pounding inside his chest and I have a feeling that his pulse picked up and his palms began to sweat. And he began to wonder, what's going to happen? Is Jesus going to ignore me? Or worse yet, is He going to chastise me? Is He going to shake His finger in my face? Zacchaeus was not prepared for what was going to happen, nor were the church folks. For Jesus came into Jericho and He weaved His way right through the middle of the church people and made His way directly to the tree where Zacchaeus was. He looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, I want to go home with you today and I want to stay at your house." And the scripture says the church folks began to grumble, doesn't it? They began to grumble. "What do you mean you're going to go home with Zacchaeus? He's a sleazebag. Nobody goes home with Zacchaeus. You go home with me. I'm the church folk. You go to my house. What do you mean you're going home with Zacchaeus?" But he did, didn't he? He made his way to the home of Zacchaeus. And what an amazing event that was in that person's life. I just really wonder this morning, if Jesus came to our church this morning, where would He go first? Do you know that He would weave His way through some of us and make His way to that person who doesn't like himself or herself very much? And in all likelihood, Jesus would sit down beside them and put His arm around them and say, "You know what? I love you just the way you are." God made you the way you are, and I love you just the way you are. And some of us might grumble, huh? That Jesus would walk through the midst of us and find the very one who doesn't like themselves very much. I love this story. I've told it before. Fred Craddock, professor of homiletics, which is a big word for preaching, at the Campbell School of Theology. He came there after I had graduated, so I didn't have him as a professor. But I had the honor and privilege of hearing Dr. Craddock preach numerous times. And he's a master storyteller. This is one of his best. He tells of a time when he and his family were traveling in the mountains of Tennessee on vacation. And quite frankly, traveling with little kids in the mountains is not a whole lot of fun. And he was tired and weary, and they'd been bickering and fussing, and they wanted to stop and rest for a while. And so they stopped at a restaurant on the side of the road to eat dinner that night. And no sooner had they sat down than an older white-haired gentleman walked up to their table, introduced himself, asked about them, and invited himself to sit at their table. And Dr. Craddock said, quite frankly, I was not interested in this old geezer sitting at my table. I just wanted to be with my family and be quiet. But he sat down anyway. And when he found out I was a preacher, he said, I should have never told him that. He found out I was a preacher and began to tell his life story. He said, when I was born, my mother was 15 years old and not married. And I lived in a very small town in the hills of Tennessee, and it was simply not acceptable for a 15-year-old girl to have a baby. Just not acceptable. So my mother wasn't accepted, and I wasn't accepted, and nobody would have anything to do with me. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks and everything you could imagine. But he said, there was one little church in town, a white frame church, and he said, I wanted so desperately to go to that church, but I was afraid to. So every Sunday, he said, I would go and hide in the bushes outside the church. He said, they didn't have air conditioning those days, and so they had screened in windows and had the windows up. And so I could hide in the bushes. I could hear the hymn sung. I could hear the choir sing. I could hear the sermon preached, and I just loved it. Every Sunday, I would hide in the bushes. And that's the way I went to church. One Sunday, while I was hiding in the bushes, he said, there were these two gigantic hands on my shoulder. I looked up into the face of the biggest man I had ever seen in my life, about like Chip Williams over here. I can just imagine looking up at Chip if I was good. He realized right away it was the preacher. And he thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be thrown out into the street. But the preacher looked down into his face. He said, son, God loved you before you were ever born, and we love you too. And you're welcome in this church anytime you want to come. You just come on in. And he said, I was so excited, I could hardly stand, and I went into the church, and I went there every Sunday, and I sang with the congregation, and I sang in the choir when I got older, and I did all the things that church folks do. And he said, when I became an adult, I was twice elected governor of the state of Tennessee. And Dr. Craddock said, I all but fell out of my chair. Another example of what the unconditional love of Christ can do for a person who does not like himself or herself very much. Can change a life. Can make the impossible possible. We know that Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, but we don't know what they talked about, do we? There's no record of what they talked about. The only thing we do know is at the end of the story, Zacchaeus was running out of the house, and he said, you know what? I'm going to give back everything I've taken. I'm going to give back four times what I've taken. I'm going to give it all back. It reminds me of my favorite Christmas story, A Christmas Carol. You know that story, don't you? Where Ebenezer Scrooge is in the story. He's running out of the house. His life has been changed. He's going to give back everything. That's what I picture when I picture Zacchaeus running down the road saying, look, here's what I took from you four times over. Can you imagine the expression on people's faces? My dear friends, one of the most difficult things in the world for us to comprehend is that God loves us just the way we are. We have a hard time loving ourselves. And we wonder how in the world can God love us just the way we are. But he does. Jesus, you see, is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He loves all of the sheep, but he especially loves those who are lost. He especially loves those who are lost because maybe, just maybe, we need to be loved more. And that's why he loves us so much. Most of you have heard the story of the little girl whose doll was broken. And she was distressed because her doll was broken. And she was sitting on the front porch of her house with the doll in her arms. And she was rocking and holding the baby, trying to comfort the doll. And a little girl next door saw her and left her house and came over and sat beside her and began to rock with her. And after a while, the little next door neighbor girl went home and her mom said, "Why did you go over there? What were you doing?" And she said, "I went over there to help her cry. I went to help her cry." I wonder how many times Jesus has sat beside us and helped us cry. You ever thought about that? I wonder how many times I've felt him sitting next to me and helping me cry with his arms around me. He helps us through the rough spots, doesn't he? He helps us during the difficult times when we wonder if we can stand it anymore. He's always there for us. I led a mission team to Krakow, Poland a number of years ago, and it was a choir team, really, and every day we sang in the square in Krakow, a city of 1 million people, and hundreds of people would come out and hear us sing every day. And we handed out invitations to a revival service at night that we were having at a little theater that we had reserved. But at night, only a handful of people would come, 6 or 7 people maybe at the most. Now, we were not that bad singing, really. Actually, we were pretty good. But what I learned is that in Krakow, the Roman Catholic Church is so prevalent and so strong that the Protestant Church, quite frankly, has a hard time existing there. There was only one Methodist church in that city of 1 million people, and they only had 40 members, and that's the church we were working with. Every night, though, at that revival service, there was a lady who came right by herself. I never met her. I never had a conversation with her. She spoke Polish. I spoke English. But I noticed one thing about her. She had really sad eyes. And while I didn't know her, and I regret not having a conversation with her, I felt like I knew her story. Because her story is not like unlike our story when we're sad or when we're lonely or when we're feeling bad about ourselves. She probably came just like Zacchaeus did, hoping and praying that maybe, just maybe, she would experience Jesus Christ and he would love her and change her life. I didn't meet her, but I think I knew her story. It reminded me of another story a preacher friend of mine told about a time when he was serving a church where every Sunday he invited the congregation to join hands across the aisles of the church and sing the Lord's Prayer. They did it every Sunday. Had done that for many, many years. And one week he received a letter from a woman who had visited his church the Sunday before. And she was thanking him for the wonderful service. She said, "Your sermon was outstanding. I loved everything about the service. But my favorite part of the service was when we joined hands across the aisle and we sang together the Lord's Prayer." And she said in the letter, and I quote, "I cannot remember the last time anybody ever touched me." Wow. There may be someone sitting in a seat today who can't remember the last time anybody touched you. Or whatever the circumstances are in your life, you may wonder if you're valued just the way you are, if you love just the way you are. I don't do this very often, but I feel led to do it this morning. This last year, some of you know, has been the toughest year of my life. Without exception, the toughest year of my life. And when you go through tough times, you begin to doubt your value and your worth. You really do. Doesn't matter who you are. You begin to doubt it. But I want to tell you something this morning. I work in a church with the most loving people I have ever met in my life. People who love you no matter what. And people who are there for you no matter what. And I want you to know something. I know more about grace this morning than I've ever known about grace in my whole life. And I've experienced Jesus sitting beside me and crying with me. And I've experienced Him putting His arm around my shoulders and saying, Troy, I love you just the way you are. What about you this morning? What is it about you that makes you wonder if you're valued or loved? Have you struggled with this whole concept that God can love you no matter what? I've got wonderful news for you. I've got wonderful news for you. God does love you just the way you are. And let me tell you something. He doesn't say to anybody, you've got to clean yourself up. You got to get your act together. You got to dress a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You got to act a certain way for me to love you. Jesus loves us just the way we are. Let me close by reading a hymn that I used to sing at camp meeting. I think you'll find these words familiar. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all that I need in Thee do I find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive. Thou wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because Thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. We closed this service this morning. Tom and I talked about this the other day. I grew up with a preacher dad who every single Sunday, every single service, invited people to come to the altar of the church to dedicate their lives to Christ or rededicate their lives. I'm going to do that for you this morning and give you an open invitation to come. You may receive Holy Communion if you like. You may come and kneel around this altar if you like. If you want someone to pray with you, if you'll just hold your hands like this, Tom or I will meet you there. Others will meet you there. Come if you will while we sing our closing hymn, won't you? Lead us. Mm-hmm.